Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Bible. This is Paul Chapman and this is episode number 52. Well, thanks for joining us. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the good night's rest. We thank you for waking us to a brand new day, and we pray now as we open your word, you'll help us to understand and take something from it for our soul's need this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've just joined us, we've been going through the life of Jacob. In the last episode, we looked at Deborah and the weeping oak, God's renewal of the covenant promise to Jacob, and where all the nations run. I mentioned our need to put away our sins, like Jacob's family did, to put away the idols of our lives so that we can be blessed of God, forgiven, and have pardon written against our names in the books of heaven. While Jacob was forgiven, blessed of God, and now reconsecrated to him, it didn't change the effect his own faults had had upon his family. Jacob, remember, had married two wives and had children by four women. His household was full of contention and jealousy, and it no doubt influenced his sons. We already saw in episode 49 the deceptive and unrestrained nature of Simeon and Levi, and the cruelty of their anger against Shechem for raping their sister Dinah. Today we'll look at an act of unrestrained passion in the life of Reuben, Jacob's eldest son, that led to him losing his birthright. But before I do, I want to share with you on a moment of deep sadness for Jacob, the loss of Rachel. You'll remember Rachel, if you've listened to our previous episodes, Rachel was pregnant with her second child and Jacob's 12th son. I'm reading from Genesis 35, verse 16 to 20 here. It says here, "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Ephrath means fruitfulness. It was a fitting name for the place where eventually Jesus would be born, the place of fruitfulness. And verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." Rachel must have had a very difficult labor. In her angst with death near, she named her son Benoni, the son of my sorrow or affliction. But his father called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand, that is, the son peculiarly dear to me. And he was, for he was the last child Rachel ever bore to Jacob. Verse 19 says, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem." Bethlehem means house of bread. In Micah, it is called Bethlehem Ephratah, house of bread, fruitfulness. Many centuries later, it was prophesied that the promised seed, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, would be born there. I'm reading here from Micah 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." I don't think Jacob realized how special that place would become. For now, it was the place where he buried the love of his life. "And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day." That's Genesis 35, verse 20. You'll remember that Rachel struggled for many years with idolatry. On the night they fled Haran, she had stolen her father's teraphim, the family statues used for divination. Upon confronting Jacob, Laban accused him in Genesis 31:30, "Wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?" And Jacob, in his integrity and consternation, said, "With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what it is thine with me, and take it to thee." For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And verse 34 of Genesis 31 said, "Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not." Now, of course, that was on that night that they fled from Haran, but that was some years before. But I believe by now Rachel had given herself fully to God. You remember from the previous episodes we've covered here, last couple of episodes, that when Jacob made that appeal in Genesis 35, verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob, to give unto him their strange gods, verse 4 says, they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So if they all gave their strange gods to him, that would include Rachel. She died an overcomer. And that gives me encouragement that if she died an overcomer after struggling for so long with those idols, then so can we. Now, soon after Rachel's death, the family again experienced a serious setback. This time, it involved Jacob's firstborn son, Reuben. Let's have a read of it. Genesis 35, verses 21 and 22. It says here, "And Israel," which was Jacob's name by now, as you'll know from previous episodes, "journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it." Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Now it's significant that the very next verse lists the names of the sons and mentions the fact about Reuben. It says here in verse 23, "the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn." You'll remember that the firstborn received the spiritual birthright and a double portion of the father's wealth. I shared that in previous episodes. But in his sin in sleeping with Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Reuben cut deep his father's grief over Rachel. Whether Reuben did it out of spite because of the lack of love Jacob had for Reuben's mother Leah, which Reuben no doubt felt, but had hoped for better upon Rachel's death, I don't know. It was certainly an act of sinful disregard of the marriage covenant. Though Bilhah was Jacob's concubine, she was Rachel's handmaid, and as such, she belonged to Rachel, and thus was counted as Jacob's de facto wife. When Reuben slept with her, he sinned against his father and God. Consequently, many years later, when Jacob blessed his own sons, just as Isaac had blessed him, he said of his firstborn son, and I'm reading here from Genesis 49, verse 3 and 4. It says here, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Now, "my couch is gone" was what this word means literally. This sinful act of Reuben against his father, though forgiven by Jacob, I believe, was not forgotten. Jacob remembered it till his dying days. It reminds me of Solomon's words in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." And in Reuben's case, it wasn't. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." In effect, Jacob was saying, "You shall not preserve your natural excellency in your posterity, nor have the preeminence of rule." Reuben had degraded himself. He was not punished personally for the act, but he was in his tribe. His descendants never came to any great prominence. Neither a judge, prophet, or ruler ever sprang from among them, and the tribe of Reuben, together with those who ended up dwelling on the eastern side of the Jordan River in Canaan there, was the first that was carried into captivity many centuries later. Jacob said of Reuben, "unstable as water." Ellen White comments on this character flaw in Reuben. She writes in her commentary on this verse, she says here, "There are those to be met with everywhere who have no fixed principles. It is hard for them to resist temptation, let it come from what quarter and in what form it may, and every precaution must be taken to surround them with influences that will strengthen their moral power. Let them be separated from these helpful influences, and they will soon show that they have no real hold from above. They trusted in their own strength. They have been praised and exalted when their feet were standing in sliding sand. They are like Reuben, unstable as water, having no inward rectitude. And like Reuben, they will never excel. What you need is to see your dependence upon God and to have a resolute heart. Be a man or a woman where you are. Show strength of character where you are. Be able, through Jesus Christ, to say, "No, I will not do this great wickedness and sin against God." Now, that must be our response when tempted to commit fornication or adultery, or any sin in fact. God will strengthen us to overcome such temptations, but it can only be so when we feel our need for God and are resolute in heart not to sin against Him. In contrast to his son Reuben, Jacob cherished God's will as his greatest priority, and God blessed him with both peace and prosperity. The extent of his prosperity came to light upon the death of Jacob's father Isaac. Let's read what happened here. In Genesis 35, verse 27 to 29, I'm reading. Verse 27, "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost, and died, and was scattered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." So Jacob finally met his father again in Mamre, the place nearby to where Abraham was buried. At 180 years old, Isaac died. I found it touching that Jacob and Esau buried him together. They were 120 years old now. Do you remember what Esau had said at least 50 years before? Come back with me to Genesis 27:41. You might remember this from quite a few episodes ago, but it says here, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him." That is the blessing that Esau had, Esau had sold for a pot of lentils. You remember that? And Jacob had taken advantage of him to get the birthright and deceived his father into blessing him. Well, Esau was so mad with that, it said here, he said in his heart, because Jacob had actually stolen the birthright from him, and Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." You remember Esau that wanted the material side of the birthright, that is the double portion of his father's wealth. He wasn't concerned with the spiritual side. But Jacob was. You know, Jacob wanted the spiritual side and didn't care much for the material side. And it's funny that through all those years, here the two brothers were fighting over something they didn't really want. I mean, Jacob wanted the spiritual birthright and Esau didn't care for that. And Esau wanted the material, which Jacob didn't care too much for. It's just pretty ironic. But God had worked miraculously in their life to bring them together. Through his intervention, the two brothers had made their peace at Penuel and remained at peace. But note what happens. In verse 6 of chapter 36, it says here, "And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob." And verse 7 says, "For their riches were more than that they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle." Wow. Do you know, Ellen White comments on this experience in her book, Patriarchs and Prophets. She writes here, "Jacob and Esau met at the deathbed of their father. Once the elder brother had looked forward to this event as an opportunity for revenge, but his feelings had since greatly changed. And Jacob, well content with the spiritual blessings of the birthright, resigned to the elder brother the inheritance of their father's wealth, the only inheritance that Esau sought or valued. They were no longer estranged by jealousy or hatred, yet they parted, Esau removing to Mount Seir. God, who is rich in blessing, had granted to Jacob worldly wealth in addition to the higher good that he had sought. This separation was in accordance with the divine purpose concerning Jacob. Since the brothers differed so greatly in regard to religious faith, it was better for them to dwell apart. You know, this is the last we hear of Esau as a person in the Bible. In the next episode, I'll pick up on some lessons we can learn from Esau's life. For now, let's take heed to keep our connection with God strong and our heart resolved to serve Him so we don't ever commit sin in such a high-handed manner as Reuben did. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this meditation this morning. We ask that you'll please bless us with a rich measure of your grace to enable us to be true to you, no matter what temptations or trials come our way this day. Help us to learn here from this experience that we don't commit such sins as Reuben committed, and that we will also learn that no matter what we do in this life, Lord, that we'll put you first in everything, that you can bless us as you did Jacob. And we pray this and thank you in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for listening to the 7 AM Bible this morning. I trust you've gained a blessing from the meditation. And remember, wherever you are today, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, be prayerful, be careful, take the Lord with you, and have a great day. And I look forward to you joining me for the next episode of the 7 AM Bible.
Doth he call to stand in his name till death? Put on the armor of God. Fight ye the good fight of faith. Go forth for Jesus your Lord. Stand in his name till death. Put on the whole armor, the armor of God, in hardness through. Calling so high, a triumph at last, so sure. Put on the armor of God, fight ye the good fight of faith. Go forth for Jesus your Lord. Till death. Instead.